that they're using to try to say that it's all right with this gender movement. And we're going to look at that one first, and then we'll talk a little bit about it. But before I do, I'll read a little bit, and we'll look at some of the scriptures and what God has to say concerning his church. This happened about 4 or 5 years ago. He said he walked into a session at Thomas H. Albrecht Christian Scholars Conference, and it was hosted by the Lipscomb University. It was titled "The Fierce Urgency of Now: Strategies for Social Change Within the Churches of Christ." He said that he was attending the conference as a favor to a former professor and friend, and he needed me to present a dissertation to highlight the doctorate of ministry program at his particular school. But now I want to go down here because this is where it comes into play. Instead, the session was dealing with forcing a feminist agenda within the fellowship of the Churches of Christ. He said he was surprised because the session used 1 Corinthians 4:20 at the thematic text. Now we're going to look at, can anybody give to me, let's see, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20.
For the kingdom of God is not a matter of thought, but of power.
Okay. Okay, what do you want? I said 21. This is me saying that. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod or in love and a spirit of gentleness? All right. Thank you. The verse states, for the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. That is, go through. Let's look at, go over to Galatians, because that's where I really want to go. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 28. Galatians 3, verse number 28. And look, before we read this, this was done at one of the Churches of Christ big university, Pepperdine, where an individual, a young man, decided that he said that a young man presented his case for the inclusion of women in all roles within the church. He used the text of Galatians 3, 28 as his proof text to argue that Paul was advocating no gender. I thought that was not funny, but I thought it was funny to me. And I want to get some of y'all's take on this. I want to go down and we're going to look at that particular verse. Who has Galatians chapter 3? All right, this is Judith.
There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus.
All one in Christ Jesus. How can you get that? How can you say that, yeah, we are all one in Christ Jesus, but that doesn't give women the right to free. So it makes it all in. Go ahead.
Well, I think what that particular person did, one, he took it out of context.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you go up to 25, Paul is talking now that faith has come. We are no longer under supervision of the law. He's
right.
Talking about the faith, not about service in the Lord's church.
Right. And that's exactly right, because we're in a situation today. Now, there are women preachers, and a lot of it has started in the denomination. It started in the denomination. It didn't start in the Lord's church. And people are going to be ashamed of themselves, taking God's word out of context. And we're going to look at some scriptures which eliminate that kind of thinking. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, starting with verse number 34. And somebody else get for me, please, 1 Timothy 2, verses 11 and 12. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, and 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I'm with verse number 34. Who has that? Women are supposed to be submissive. Now, what Paul had is writing about, there was a woman who was speaking out of turn in the church. That's why he wrote that and put that in there. Because the law and everything, God's law in the New Testament, is all here. We have no say in it. We either going to have to follow it or not follow it. If we want to get to heaven, we're going to follow it. Now, because this, let me tell you something. I think there are plenty of women, and I think some of y'all will agree with me, that can really outspeak me. They care. Many of them have been trained to do so. But when it comes to the Lord's church, we have to do it His way. We can't do it our way and expect to please the Lord. And I'm getting too old for that. To be thinking about doing something neat. I like it just the way God put it. I really do. I love it the way He has it. And who has 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 11 and 12. 1 Timothy 2, verse 11 and 12. Thank you. I'll read it.
A woman should learn in quietness and in full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to assume authority over a man. She must be quiet.
Mm-hmm. And I truly don't believe this is being mean to women, but it's a part of what God wants. And he even says that being submissive, and if you want to know something, ask your husband at home. Now, take it, there are some women here that had no husband at home that they can, good morning. There are some that have no husband at home. Well, what is the alternative? Go to a brother. Go to, if you got an elder, go to the elder. Go to a deacon. Go to someone knowledgeable enough to help you. That means there's no excuse. There's no excuse. We have an obligation and we have to have the respect for God, what he wants, not what we want. We're not going to. We can't do it our way and expect God to just, you know, it's okay. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. I want to get to a couple of scriptures where it talks about, let me see if I can find them first. Oh, let me go down here. And this is true. Years ago, you would never have heard of a woman preaching on Sunday morning to a mixed group, men and women. But now it is starting to seep in into the local churches. A woman preaches at the Latin Church of Christ in New York City, and a woman in turn preached at the 4th Avenue Church of Christ in Franklin, Tennessee. That ain't nothing but the Babel Belt. They got plenty of churches to pray down there. How could those men allow that? How? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You're absolutely right, sir. And I thought that this subject could be touchy to some people, but it shouldn't be touchy to any of us that know God's word and know the truth.
Here again, I think it boils down to whatever itchy ears want to hear, or you know, what people want to do instead of. I think disgraceful in a way, because God has established a certain order within his worship services.
Yes.
And we definitely need to strictly uphold them. And if we don't, then why even bother, you know?
Yeah.
It's the same way we're trying to get women who like to leave a choice to understand that murder outside the womb, like in school shootings, just as murder in the womb with killing babies.
Yeah.
But no, that's not in their thinking. You can't hit them on the head to get them to understand that.
Mm-mm.
No. You just can't.
You're absolutely right.
You're unreconcilable with it.
Right.
They want to believe what they want to believe.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, and those same people, they'll want to charge somebody of double murder if somebody kills a pregnant woman, but yet they won't say that it's killing, it's double a child.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
You need to realize, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, we should be able to rightly divide the truth.
Yep.
As soon as a woman gets up to preach, the whole congregation is doing their job, studying God's word and not depending on somebody to teach them God's word and studying diligently themselves, that's just a fact. So we should have said, that's why stuff like this is growing in the church, because members of the congregation are not stopping the truth, stopping the false teaching.
Yeah. And a lot of false teachers out there. Yes, sir.
And we also, we can go back to the beginning. You know, when God made Adam and Eve, who did he make first?
Made.
And he did it in his mind of finding them. So how do you understand it?
Yeah, you can have my notes, because I was going to talk about it. Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Yes.
Sir, and here it says that women are supposed to be quiet in the church. They're supposed to go home and ask their husband. And then their husband is supposed to come back to the church and ask the question.
No. But, see, if your husband... Let's say your husband's a member of the church, but mm-hmm. he may not be as knowledgeable to answer the question that you want.
Right.
Then you can, you always can ask a leader in the church to help with the particular question that you have.
Right, but it says that they're supposed to be silent in the church.
Now, if you're silent in the church, doesn't mean that you can't participate. Oh yeah. But see, they had a problem in the first century church with that happening. That's why I went over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14.
Well, that's where I was still reading.
And they had a problem, and not to say that there, but the if you do a little research, it'll tell you that they had a woman that was pretty much out of order. You know, and then during that first century, they spoke in tongues. Mm-hmm. But you couldn't even speak in tongues any kind of way. You have to, if you could speak in tongues, and speaking in tongues was somebody who came in, who was, even if there was a member of the church, then I spoke the language. And then you have somebody that one of the apostles have laid hands on to allow them to not only understand what that person was saying, but speak the language. And then you go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and tell you a lot more about the tongue.
I just wanted to make sure this was still okay. And we're good. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I kind of ran into that problem over in Germany because we had a sister that took offense that I would speak up during Bible class like we got right now. And she took me to the side when we came out of church and he said, you are speaking over the men and da-da-da-da-da. I mean, she had me so devastated. I was boo-hooing all the way home. And I asked Mike, I said, how, if I'm wrong, you need to tell me this. And he said, do you speak up during worship service? No. You know, and he said, do you speak over the teacher that's teaching, you know, during Bible class? No. You know, it's just adding to the comments that he was making and for asking questions. And he said, then you're not taking, speaking over the men, you know. It's God demands a certain order in his worship service. And we need to go by this, you know. And God said, you know, was Eve created first? No, Adam was, you know, like Dolores was saying. And there is an order with God, you know, God first, then comes the husband, then comes the wife, and the children, and so on. And we got to uphold that.
Mm-hmm.
Even with our own household. That's the way it should be. Man is the head of the household. Christ is the head of the church. And it follows the same rule.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Anybody else?
Wait.
Yes, sir.
That means when it says be silent, that the women don't make no dispute.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
When all the business is going on
with the women, wait till they get home and ask their husband to find out what's going on. And then the man, the husband will put in like the woman, will not be able to take it off the door and look in the city.
Oh, yeah. That's true. That's true.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. I think it's so important that we be very careful. You know, now Pepperdine is one of the leading universities in the Christian schools in the country. How they allow this kind of foolishness to go on is beyond me. It's just, it's mind-boggling to me how men, and these are professors and educated, but let me tell you something. Not all of them have the Church of Christ background or leader, because they are, some of them are, they way over in left field.
Sometimes, Ray, I think what it is that we as Christians are scared that we're going to offend somebody because we take a stand on in like the way. So one of the examples of that I can think of is, you know, the hospital that I work at. They have a great woman that is the preacher for the church. I mean, she's a great woman. I mean, great woman. But she presents herself as a reverend or as a preacher. And there's times that she comes to the emergency room and she wants to pray with the staff. And like I've told my boss, it kind of puts me in an awkward position because I usually, what I do is to be, you know, because I do like her and she is a really sweet woman, I'll always be too busy to go pray if I can. Well, I'm got this to do. But it just puts you in an awkward position because we don't want to offend anybody a lot of times. So I think what they do is, like the same with Pepperdine, they don't want to say, well, no, you can't think that way, and they kind of let it kind of creep in, and then it starts like this, and then it goes like this, and before you know it, then they work their way in.
Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of the Christian, the universities that used to be affiliated with Churches of Christ have let other denominations basically infiltrate their teaching staff. You know, you can't have a teaching where not everybody believes it.
Right.
You know, they all believe something different. So where does that go? You know, you don't have people believing it.
And the first thing many people say when you read scripture, is that your interpretation? They will do that in a heartbeat. That's not the way I see it. Well, how you see it, it's what it is. You know.
The way I think women preach and Christians slowly. You have churches here within this area that have women as deacons.
Yeah.
And they have women serving as elders.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you know, they're going to jump in the pulpit, you know. And it, to me, it's the responsibility of the elders to nip this in the bud, so to speak. You know, and the rest of the Christians need to speak up, but elders, as the leaders of the church, they should just put a stop to this.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. The responsibility lies on the leaders because of what Christ told us to do.
Don't let any strange doctrines creep into the church.
No, because if you never heard it before,
mm-mm,
it ain't true.
Mm-mm.
And I mean that it ain't. No, it's not true at all. So. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they don't like that. And How can, this is not funny, but how can a woman be an overseer or an elder or a shepherd when they're supposed to be husband of one wife? You're going to have to explain that one.
Well, don't matter now,
right? Oh, yeah, it may not matter, but
I mean,
it is what it is. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, like we mentioned in the Friday class, you know, if things don't line up with the Bible, you better stay far away from it. But you have to know the Bible in order to be able to do that. If you don't, like Brian said, if you don't stay in the Bible, how are you going to know what's right or what's wrong?
Yeah.
You cannot just go and nitpick, you know, because some Bible scripture attracted you. You better read before and after in order to get the meaning of that one particular scripture. You can't just pick and choose.
Yeah. And my thing is, that's pretty clear. I mean, for her to be ordained as a minister, did they skip that section when she was going to college?
Must was absent from class.
Yeah, I mean, it's like...
So, we have a responsibility ourselves to study God's word. Not just the preachers, not the elders alone, not the deacons, but everybody need to know how to discern right from wrong. Yes. Yeah.
Well, and you've got to be careful now which Bible you pick up, because there are Bibles being degenderized.
Yeah.
Gender neutral.
That is quite true.
So, I mean, if you want to study, if you have an older Bible, you need to keep that for you. If you go to the school and get a new Bible, you could be in trouble with it.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to watch what you read.
So there even, you know,
yeah, it's a very dangerous thing to do that. Thank you all for your comment. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Again, of course, knowledge is a perfect truth.
Yes.
Sometimes the truth is so it'll call you out. God's command for not to get commands of other Methodist options. There's this command. The Israelites, when they were wandering through the wilderness for 40 years, found out the hard way.
Yeah.
God asked them, hold it. You will go in, claim what I promised you, that you will kill everything. Okay. The women, the children, the animals.
Yes.
And so, I'm not the same as it is. He is still the same. His character will never change. He is still just.
Mm-hmm.
And so, when we start, of course, doing fairly, consciously, it's one thing to be just making a mistake, not knowing that it's here. When we know it is here, shame on us. Shame on us. And also, too, we call sin sin. That's the thing that the other council would have in that front culture, a sensitivity culture, if you will. We call it what it is. It's sin, it's wrong, and because God made it so, not because I made it. God made it.
I want to say this, and sometimes people put themselves, their own selves, in harm's way by not obeying God. And when you decide that you're going to do something other than what God says, it's tough enough just trying to get to heaven, trying to do right. But when you knowingly do wrong, and then the thing is, they won't carry other folks with them. don't tell people I get the hell by myself. I don't need any help. I'd much rather try to get to heaven. Because it's just so much out here that can distract you and fool you. If you don't have some knowledge about what God will say, you go with the wind. Every wind of doctrine. And Paul talked about that when he wrote Timothy. Timothy chapter 4. You know? As a matter of fact, let me go over there. Let me go over there. I think it needs to be read.
It's in Timothy 4.
Timothy chapter 4. You got it, bro?
First Timothy
chapter 4. I'll read it right here.
The verses are you read?
Starting with the first verse.
Okay.
Yeah, you can go ahead.
Yes. The Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow the deceiving spirits and things taught by demons.
Yeah. Hold on there. They are going to reject everything that God has put in place. It said, the Spirit expressly said that in later days, what days are we in? A lot of times, right? We're in a lot of days now. Go ahead and finish that.
Does such teaching comes through as hypocritical liars whose consciences have seared as with a hot iron.
Now, you know, I'm going to tell you something. Many people, even I have, you know, use the iron and you press and want to put those creases in your pants or to put that crease in your shirt that you can wear nice and, you know, nice. That's pretty hot, isn't it? A hot iron can do a lot of damage if you leave it on there. How many of you ever left an iron on? Left my iron on and left it on. That could happen. Get distracted. Phone ring. That hot iron can do a lot of damage. And when your mind gets seared, that means you don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear what you got to say. And a lot of people like that. They're like that. Well, I want my mind seared for God. I don't want anything to get in the way of that. That's your hand, bro.
Yeah.
A lot of it is tradition. Yes, sir. Yes. And that's a mark that's going to be there. Let's see, what else did it say about this, brother? We finished that.
They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God's created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth.
Hold on a minute. What did he say about marriage? If we get over there with those priests and Catholic kids, they don't believe in mine. That wasn't where it was in the beginning. God, they said, let us make man, Jesus and God, the Godhead. Let us make man in our own image. Well, that was fine. God said, well, it's not good for man to be alone. So I tell you what I'll do. I'll make him a helpmate. Make him a helper. He put him to sleep, did the first surgery, took a rib out of him, and made him, I have met woman. Woman. That's the greatest gift ever for us men. You gotta get an amen on that one, I'm a white. Well, it is so true. Forbidden to marry, forbidden to eat certain food, which God has said to receive with what?
Thanksgiving.
We have so much to be thankful for in the Lord's church. I'm thankful, first of all, for my mother, who obeyed the gospel herself and told me to come visit the church. That was great. Because my wife was so obedient, was there. That it kind of helped that the old boy straighten right on up. Yeah. But those who knew, you in here that knew Brother Linwood Roberts. Linwood Roberts, I don't, Beverly know him, but she was over there. That man could sing. I had never heard a cappella music like that in my life. And he had a heavy voice, and it goes, and it goes up. And I'm going to tell you, my goodness. We don't need no nothing in here. I really enjoyed the services. And I had learned to enjoy the teaching. The teaching. We have so much to be thankful for. And I tell everybody in here, not just as a shepherd, but as a child of God. Don't leave the church. Don't get yourself hung up on traditions that other people want to put on you. Because it's not going to go anywhere. You can lose your soul. You lose your soul. We've got more time for us to get out of here. Let me look at the time. Yes, you have
a time. I was just going to say, you know, we are taught to humble ourselves before the Lord. How can women say they humble themselves before the Lord by insisting on doing jobs that God never even allowed them to do in the first place? They elevating themselves to a position that belongs to man.
Yeah.
That's not humbling yourself before the Lord.
And not only that, sister. Men need to man up.
That's what they need to do. Too, yeah.
They need to man up and stop. Mm-hmm. You know, pitter-patting around the issue. You know? Because the responsibility still lies on us. Excuse me. The men. We have a responsibility to God. We have a responsibility to the one who gave it life on the cross. That faithful Friday. And rose on the first day of the week, the third day. Yes.
Well, I don't think there's enough teaching in the churches to raise up young men in the way that they should go.
Well, the only thing...
And it's also a responsibility of the parents to train their children.
Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing. I think it starts at home. Yep. It starts at home because if you don't raise your sons to be a man, how are they going to act that way? I agree. I mean, Church in Hopewell, when my boys were coming up, they had what they called the future preachers class. And the boys would really learn doctrine. They would learn how to give a short sermon, you know, and learn how to be a man and a leader within the church. Where the women had their women, the young girls had their class to teach them how women should be in church, and I think we need that for our young men.
Yeah, we need it, sister, but we got to get our men, our young men here.
Yeah.
We really need to get them
there.
So that they can. Because my son and my daughter, they're not faithful right now, and I like to get them back. But I can only do so much, you know. I got one more that's now be out of town. We got to go.
I just want to say, a lot of the young mothers and fathers are working on, you know, working a lot, you know, and they have children. And, I'm not just saying because I'm going to my grandparents. I'm saying your grandparents, grandmothers and grandfathers, really should talk to their children and try to raise the grandchildren in the church, young men and women. And, you know, help them. And, because I have heard some young people say, I've never been in a church.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
well,
sad. You said, I've never been in a church.
Yeah, that is very sad. But, you know, then we got to go. But we bought our son when he was born in our arms. And our daughter the same way. And when they get grown, they make their own decisions. All I can do is pray for them and tell them that one day you're going to have to answer to God for what you've done in the body. And if you don't, if you think you'll get away with it, forget it. Forget it. It's not going to happen. Because the rust there all the time is not going to get out this one alive. And that means we're going to go away from here. And the parents' responsibility, yes. But they got so many parents that don't know anything about God. They say they're faithful and all this, but what can I tell you? I want to thank each and every one of you for your participation this morning. And, thank you. Yeah. Y'all made class, brother. I made class. Y'all made class. I appreciate it. I appreciate it so much.